a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of First Lady and Friends is brought to you by Cox and Friends and soap. Let's go. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast you didn't know you needed and probably don't. I'm Governor Spencer Cox, and this really is First Lady and Friends, but we are here as a reunion episode with the Cox and Friends, and we've been fighting over the mic already. Abby?
He took my show. He took my show. It's all downhill from here.
For those of you that probably have no idea what's going on because you were expecting the First Lady and Friends podcast, we should explain what's going on. And Abby, do you want to kind of give an explanation?
Well, this is a spinoff, I guess, from Cox and Friends. But we have a reunion podcast here today. We have the Friends, the podcast pals, otherwise known as Cox and Friends, all of us here together, back together. The band is back together. Welcome, everybody, to the show.
There's probably a lot of people who had never heard that show, but we're really excited about it to be back together. There was a time when we were doing a radio show back in the day, well before anyone was paying any attention.
It was a Sunday radio show.
Sunday drive time.
That's right.
Very
church
popular.
Drive time. It was like four o'clock. Afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon block time.
Yeah.
That's right, John. Abby, I think you need to introduce the entire crew.
So we have here Owen Fuller, tech extraordinaire. Welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
We have John Cox.
Dogecoin owner.
Yes.
John Cox.
That's the one. Welcome back.
Thank you.
The one and the only, Kirsten Rapley.
The most consistent of everyone in this room except for the First Lady.
And the incomparable SRH.
I thought you were going to blank on my name there for a second. I'm like, it's Spencer. It's great to be here, though.
It's a name you're familiar with.
Yeah.
Spencer Ryan Hall, also known as SRH. So we're going to start this podcast out with kind of a Where Are They Now segment, because I know the listeners have been dying to figure out what happened to all of us since we went off the air a couple years ago. Well, how long has it been? Maybe a year and a half, somewhere around there? Did we do any
March
podcasts?
March 2020, I think.
I think it was. It was right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Thanks, Rudy Gobert. Yeah. Otherwise, this podcast would still be going.
We wouldn't have lost out. So I think people know where we are. If you've listened to this podcast, you know the First Lady, Abby. I became governor, and it's been quite a trip. So
great. Start with that.
That happened.
All of us are just like, you know, kind of doing the same thing as before. But that's pretty cool.
The listeners all know, Kirsten, that you're working with Abby as her chief of staff. It's been amazing.
I said it recently. I think I'm one of the only people who's actually officially worked for both of you, other than your children.
Well, and that's...
And we know that you work them hard.
They don't work for you.
Debatable.
Okay, so that leads us to, I mean, and we've all had some changes in our lives, some things happening. Owen, let's go with you. Last time we met, you were throwing out some amazing tech businesses, some tech buys, you know, we were buying or selling. And let's talk about what you're doing now.
The more things change, the more things stay the same. I'm still doing the same stuff. I'm still in the tech world. I did have a big event that was really exciting where we worked with a bunch of investors and actually bought a a business to carve it out and made it our own. It was the same thing I was doing before, but it feels brand new. So I changed title from general manager to CEO, and I'm just really leaning in on that, as you can imagine.
That's a big deal. You and Danny Ainge today, that's announcing right, yeah. The CEO. We'll get to...
I saw that. I thought, like, oh, Danny, I can really relate. You know, you and me, we got a lot in common.
Well, and it was Danny's title is CEO and alternate governor, right? So, and is that applicable in your case as well or no?
Hey, let's be careful just throwing around the alternate governor title willy-nilly.
I've been telling people I'm that for years already, John, so no need to worry about that. But yeah, still doing the same thing there. We had a little baby boy at home. He's the best, and that's probably the big news on our front.
Very cool. And I think it's important that the listeners can't tell John and Owen apart on the microphone. So they're sharing a microphone today. That was always fun. John Cox, what's new in your life?
Well, I will say one of the side effects of the pandemic for all of us was probably poor judgment. And in our home, like many, we ended up getting a puppy. A decision I regret daily. I'll just say that I don't really do much with the dog unless my wife's out of town. She was recently out of town. She like drops it off has me drop it off at a daycare. Seems like a total racket, doggy daycare. But anyhow, the other day I was picking it up and it's like a super energetic dog. It's very frustrating to me. But I was changing my clothes and the dog's like in the room. And the moment I took off my shirt, like that dog has never gotten more still in his life, and he's just staring at me. And I'm a believer in the scientific method. I'm not sure if it's just my dog or if it's all dogs. Not sure how to prove this out, but anyhow, the Cox family, we have a dog. His name is Bear. It's a poodle or doodle something. I'm not entirely clear, but anyhow, that's changes in our life.
It feels like a judgy dog. Is it kind of judgy?
Well, it might be. It is part of our family, so I guess it might be. But it's one where, I feel like generations of Coxes are looking down and judging me.
No, look, like, John, I was just about to say, so for the frequent listeners know this, but we are fourth cousins. And you talking about taking your Labradoodle to doggy daycare, somewhere Orville Sutherland Cox is just rolling in his grave.
Coxes are doing the same. I will say, picking up the dog at daycare is the worst because they're like, hey, what's the dog's name? I say Bear. They say, what's his last name? And like, look, I'm not looking for a confrontation here, but like, I'm not going to say that we share the same last name. So my compromise position is I always just say my last name is Cox, and then they go get the dog. So.
So this is where we are. It's Bear Cox now. Is that right? Are you just embarrassed that they might say, wait, is this dog related to the governor?
Yeah, I'm doing this for you. No, it's incredibly embarrassing. I can't tell you. But I will say, yeah, you know, I did teach him something apparently with the whole shirt trick. So I'm proud of that. A little disappointed in my methods, but you know, proud of the outcome.
Who amongst us hasn't been speechless when we've seen John with his shirt off? I mean, I can relate. It's a sight to behold.
This is such a different podcast.
I don't know. I don't know what even is happening now. I have so many questions, but we're going to leave them unspoken. SRH, the microphone is yours. Give us the update on really, and the rest of the podcast could just be the times and journeys of Spencer Ryan Hall.
Well, we launched your campaign in my house, which was a really fun event. So that's been to see you sitting here. You're the governor now. That's been a fun journey.
Well, okay, hang on. We can't just leave it there. If we're going to go there, we have to talk about what the house looked like when the campaign was launched.
It looked great. It looks fantastic.
Great, if not a little bit original.
Yeah. Well, at the time.
Spartan.
Yeah. At the time, I live a very Spartan life. I'm a very much a minimalist, and I've lived in my place for 10 years, and a lot of people don't believe that. They come in, and it looks like I just moved in. And so they think I maybe live elsewhere, but claim I live there. And at the time, we had moved some things around. After that, I live in a place where it's busy outside, and so there's a lot of noise. I may or may not have moved my bed into the front room for a little while just to avoid the noise. And then I think I had some people over, and I think that was the last time anyone's ever come over. They're like, we're not going to come over if this bed's in the front.
Well, we were over when the bed was in the front.
Was it?
Ethical about it. I think we need to explain why were we at Spencer Ryan House?
Paul's house.
In his bedroom. Ish.
I don't. I mean, that probably happened later.
But, all I remember is there were copious amounts of LaCroix, and it was very disappointing. Yeah.
Well, since that time, I used to be working at Rocky Mountain Power. I've now joined a renewable energy company. We're working on lowering the price of clean hydrogen. And so I'm the COO of that. And it's been a fun journey trying to solve some problems with renewable energy.
Very nice. Congratulations. We're all very excited. And it really has been so fun to work together as a team over the past several years. And I miss it. It's amazing just listening to the way this podcast is starting that we didn't get more national attention for our podcast. It didn't grow more than
just
that.
Just wait for this episode, right? Boy, this is our time. Thank you, Abby, for the platform I've been waiting for.
John, go ahead.
I will say my mom started listening to the podcast like a year after the fact. And so she would come talk to me about like jokes we had said from like a year prior. And I was like, hey, mom, I'm not really following. But like, I appreciate that you're listening.
Well, we were sure for a long time that it was only our moms that were listening. And so they're really going to appreciate this episode. Now, we used to have kind of some running, we had running jokes, but we had running segments as well. And John, I'm going to give you an opportunity to apologize for Conspiracy Corner.
Yeah, I will say while the podcast did not go mainstream, unfortunately, my segment Conspiracy Corner has. And, you know, it was a playful look at conspiracy theories. In the intervening 2 years, conspiracy theories have become less playful, I would say. So, yes, I would like to apologize to all of our listeners.
I mean, we had some good times. If you go back to some of those past episodes, we were talking about alien abductions. We were talking about JFK, I think. We had a segment on that about the planes getting lost at sea and disappearing from the face of the earth. But you never really dabbled in the, you know, kind of what we're seeing now, just to be clear.
Well, but even now there's like, you know, reports out that like, hey, just so you know, UFOs are real. And we just like move on as if nothing occurred. So I, you know, so some of it apparently was real.
All right. Well, we also had kind of a Owen's Tech. What did we? I never could get it right.
Tech time
talking with Owen Fuller. And now I feel like the whole world has gone kind of crypto, with the exception of John Cox.
Well, that's right. You know, John really started off with a bang here, saying he's the Dogecoin holder. But man, now what's happened? If you've been paying attention, is we no longer call it just crypto, but we say Web3. And that makes it much more acceptable for everybody when they realize we're talking about, you know, not just crypto, but blockchain and then Web3, which is this new way, a new wave of technology, let's say. And now it just sounds cool, right? Now it's like, hey, it's not just the crazy stuff. It's not just the Dogecoin. There's this whole thing about the... John's shifting in his seat. Okay.
We're going to be up texting about this until midnight. And by that, I mean, it's going to be Owen and John and the rest of us are just going to be down.
It's too bad you're sharing a microphone right now, but John, a counterpoint.
So I during the pandemic, I picked up a little bit of pickleball, not to brag, but I was out playing with somebody once and the guy who I'd never met before, like we had some downtime and he was like, hey, so are you like really into cryptocurrency? I was like, no, not really. He's like, well, because pretty much everybody here that's into pickleball is into cryptocurrency. And I've never been turned off more towards pickleball than I was in that moment. So I'll just say I think...
Well, the pickleball didn't really like what it was getting from you either at that moment, John.
Tough but fair. Like if I came in here and was like, hey, I just invested in a bunch of Japanese yen or something and I just made a bunch of money, you'd be like, oh, great. You know, like there's no inherent value to it. It's just... there's a lot of money out in the market because we all got $2,000 checks and we're looking to deploy wherever it is, or wherever we can or wherever we want. But I think it's just speculation.
I'm so excited that we have that audio. So in like 10 years, we can play it back to you on loop.
This will be fantastic. Oh, Owen, your point.
Oh, I was just going to say, you have come around on blockchain technology, though, right, John? So there you go.
But no, I was never there. I think blockchain technology will revolutionize, you know, the country.
Okay,
but the notion that, like,
it.
Hey, I invested in this thing, and now I'm a billionaire, but this thing doesn't actually have any inherent value, like, that's a racket.
Well, yeah, I mean, you may not be wrong, but there are also billionaires. So they might also be right at some level, I guess, you know.
The easy joke here is that instead of talking about Web 3.0, some of these guys need to start talking about Girlfriend 1.0.
Yeah.
What is an NFT and how many of them do you own?
You know, I don't own any NFTs right now, but you know, some people think about NFTs like, how is this even a thing where you're just like, maybe they feel like, oh, you're just buying the rights to some image that exists in the ether. And why would you ever want that? But people are doing really cool things with NFTs that are going to change the way that we think about them, whether you're talking about like NFTs that give you the right to play in a particular game in a particular world, whether it's in the metaverse or as some people call it, the meatverse, which is the world we all live in. And, you know, also, you know, there may be access to certain events or clubs or things that you take part in. So I think that we're just barely in the beginning. And, you know, if you go out and look at this stuff and you start to dabble in it, you realize it's not all smooth. It's not all easy. Remember that like sound of dial up when you would hear it back in the day and you're in. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, John. Wish you were closer to the mic for that. Sorry, I was too, didn't give it to you. But yeah, so, you know, in that zone, that's where we're at right now with Web 3.0.
And with that, we have come up to our first break, after which I will be turning the microphone over to the First Lady to take back her podcast. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
And welcome back. This segment of First Lady and Friends, crossover edition with Cox and Friends, but is brought to you by food. I think we're going to talk a little bit about food. I do have to say, though.
What was the soap thing? I didn't catch that.
I don't know. It was just soap.
Okay. Just kind of like a pandemic, soap, like wash your hands.
Yeah, soap wanted to sponsor us this time. I don't know. I won't tell people how much we got for that sponsorship. I do have to just wrapping up on the crypto side of things, I did have an opportunity to speak with maybe the most powerful banker in the entire country, incredible you know, very, very powerful human being. And I just asked him, I'll leave him anonymous for now. I asked him, you know, what he thought about cryptocurrency. And he said, I can sum it up in one word: fraud. So I'll just leave that there.
And his words, not yours. I mean, I sympathize with the cause. You're kind of playing Switzerland.
Those are not my words.
Gotcha.
I'm very intrigued.
Well, I think the big question is, where is it going to go? That's the question.
That's the question.
Let's let John, you know.
And on
stay
that
mad.
Question, this yeah. is the biggest fights we've had over the past 18 months are now airing our dirty laundry in front of the entire world. Abby.
We're going to talk about food now. SRH, tell us the latest food journey you have been on.
Well, I'm always looking for great local spots and especially neighborhood restaurants. There was a delicious new Cuban place that's on 2700 South, about 500 East in Salt Lake called Batista. We all went. We had a beautiful night, and it felt like we were in Cuba. I mean, it felt like the music was playing, family restaurant. We had a great time. Tweeted about it.
John was dancing.
Yeah, that didn't happen. That would have ruined the night. No, that would have made my night. But anyway.
John's dog was remaining very still. Yeah.
Hey, if it works.
No, but I love it. And I want to see that happen more often. I mean, I miss, you see pictures of Salt Lake City back in the day, and there was always like a neighborhood restaurant, neighborhood stores. And with zoning, we've changed that. And I want to get it back to where we have the availability to put like a little small store, a small restaurant, things in a neighborhood, make things a little more walkable. Like having a little neighborhood restaurant like that, I thought it was just the most lovely thing to go in and have a great meal, feel like you're still in a neighborhood. You don't have to go into a little strip mall or a place like that with the restaurant. Just have it small, have it feel like you're eating it over at a family's house, and then, get some of this ethnic cuisine taste from all around the world. I thought it was beautiful.
I just like the idea there of like a new segment of like, you know, zoning changes with SRH or something like that. Like, you know, deep dive on zoning.
Yeah. Listen, when I was growing up, I had a neighbor that was involved in kind of local politics, and he taught our merit badge class, like citizenship in the community. And I remember he had a lot of opinions about zoning, and we were 12 or whatever you are. And I remember him lecturing us about zoning for like an hour and all of us just staring, like having no idea. But I remember he said at the time, he's like, do you want a 7-Eleven right next to your house? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I
actually
still
want
do.
A 7-Eleven in my house. I've been collecting slowly but surely, but like little rotating like, hot dog things and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, you don't allow these zoning things. Pretty soon there's a 7-Eleven next to your house. And I'm like, show me the problem. I don't see any problem.
Setbacks. Yeah. It's the damn setbacks every time.
Taco stands on every corner.
Yeah, wasn't it the Stephen Miller deal?
Well, so that night was so good. I remember that being just what I felt like I needed that night. And then we were able to go again not long after to this really cool place with, I want to say Ethiopian fare. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Mahadir is the name of it. It's on State Street and like 1400 South, 1500 South. Incredible restaurant. We had so much fun.
Well, and what it really brings to mind for me is when I go out and travel, I'm always thinking about where's the really fun place to eat. But when I'm home, I'm kind of stuck in my own rut. So this was like the perfect thing now. And I can't wait for our next chance to go to another country right here in Utah and have some more great food together.
I have to give a shout out to Gastronomic SLC, a food blog that always has new restaurants that are opening, new events that they're doing. All of my things that I come up with that I share with you guys, I steal from his blog.
So I had said earlier that one of the side effects, I think, of the pandemic was poor judgment from at least in my household. I did get an email recently that was like, you've saved $668 this month at DoorDash. And I was like, I don't think I really saved that much money. So I will say, I've had some experience there, but going out to these restaurants, you know, being back in person has been a lot of fun, and doing it a few times with you guys has been great.
Can you all remind me what the taco place we went? This was a little bit further back, like maybe a couple months ago, but
yeah,
that taco
in West Valley.
In West Valley City. Tamal?
La Casa del Tomate.
There we go. Something like but could you say it with the actual accent? That would be nice.
There were hand motions. You can't see this, but my hands were involved with that.
Yeah. Well, actually, that spot right there is next to the place that I love, which I believe is Taiwanese like ice cream. and shave ice.
Kind of weird stuff.
I really like that. But basically what you need to do is just go out to West Valley. That's where the action's at, right, when it comes to food. One of our favorite places, Tonkatsu, out there. Got to get back there.
The ramen, the bulgogi flat fries, those are like to die for, right?
The place I experienced the other day, though, is right next to Trader Joe's on 400 South, 700 East, called Cajun Boil. I think we need to go, but it appears to be an Asian restaurant trying to do Cajun things. And I went in there by myself, which was probably a mistake, and they gave me enough food to feed about five people. And I made it almost all the way through, but I think we need to go as a group. It's just they brought it out in a bag, and they just dumped the bag out onto the thing, and it's just in a big plate of butter.
It's like a crawfish fry, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But Asian style.
Sweet. I love it. I love the fusion. Kirsten, what restaurants, what food have you enjoyed lately?
So I actually would like to pivot a tiny bit and talk about the food I'm going to get tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I hear I have a gift coming my way as a member of the governor's team that I think is impossible, essentially, to get. And you guys have been working on this for like 6 months. So really, it's more like what I'm looking forward to. But I also do want to throw in the first time we DoorDashed to the governor's mansion pretty much blew the rural Cox's mind. And now I understand it's a fairly regular thing. But we were like watching a basketball game and John Cox just whipped out the cell phone and we had Cold Stone in our hands within minutes. And it was amazing.
I will say that the moment I knew I had a problem was when I ordered an acid, like a Tums an acid from 7-Eleven on DoorDash. And I was like, maybe this has gone too far. I don't know.
That wouldn't have happened if SRH was zoning.
That's right. Now, Kirsten, you left us hanging, though, on the edge of our seat. You got to tell us, what is this thing?
I feel like I've got to pass this one over.
So the and we've maybe talked about this before, but San Pete County is known for their amazing turkey.
There's like 128 turkeys for every one person in San Pete.
Yes.
We did the math once. I don't know if it's still true.
And we're fabulously proud of it. And You have to try months in advance to get what we call a sweetheart roast turkey. And what it is it's a turkey. It's all the turkey breasts in, and they've put it in a bag and they've brined it. And you cook it in the bag. And it's the most moist, the most delicious turkey you will ever have in your life. And so for the gifts that we gave for all the staff,
we went and took a refrigerated truck down to Moroni today and brought back 100 of these sweetheart roast turkeys for the rest of the staff. So
what's funny is some people might think listening to this, well, this is just the Sam Pete Pride talking. But, you know, I didn't grow up out there. My mouth is watering so much thinking about it because you did it as well at a kind of a fancy party at the governor's mansion. And I, as I'm often doing, was running around everywhere. I had not eaten dinner. And I just kept sneaking more of it. I was hoping people weren't noticing, but just the thought of it is so good. I mean, it is really, really delicious stuff, and that is a perfect Christmas gift.
It's pretty fabulous. And John helped make that happen because certain of our staff didn't know how to speak Sam Pete, and he had to intervene.
It's like, these are my friends. I'll take care of it. So.
Shout out to Nick, who just made the trip to Moroni to bring 100 turkeys
in a refrigerated truck. It was quite a hassle on a day like today with roads what they were. So thank you, Nick.
We appreciate it. Well, we are running, I think, a little low on time. So we're going to have to talk about the Utah Jazz before we go. Jazz having an incredible season. They have the top-rated offense in the league. They're record is great. They're rolling right now. Just named Danny Ainge, as we mentioned, was just named the CEO and what, alternate governor, I believe, was the exact title.
I have Danny facts. I can do that now. I can do it later.
But I think Deidre's going to have something to say about that title.
Alternate governor? Yeah, no.
Let's hear the Danny facts.
So Danny facts, I think most people know that he played in the NBA, was a great player for Boston and a few other teams as well, but also was a professional baseball player, which I think many folks
Toronto
know.
Toronto Blue Jays? Did
he
I
was.
Get that right?
Yeah. And what's interesting, I did not know this until doing some Danny deep dives today, some alliteration for those who love that, but he was playing for the Toronto Blue Jays while he was a student at BYU. So he actually hit his first home run in the major leagues. It was like 15, 16 months before that fateful Notre Dame game in the Elite Eight where he won. So plays professional baseball in the summer, goes back. And as part of his contract, it says he can't play basketball while the season's going on. But then quickly picks up basketball during the regular season and obviously gets drafted and is off to the races from there.
Incredible athlete. Some apocryphal stories out there about his time at BYU. But my uncle was at BYU then, and it was a little bit of a tennis player. And he told the story to me of watching the first singles player, so the top tennis player at BYU, watching him play Danny, just kind of a pickup tennis game. And it was extremely close. He said, you know, on one exchange, Danny just shifts racket to his left hand and hits a winner down the baseline. It was really impressive, and that's the kind of athlete he was. I was noticing as Steph broke the record this week for three-pointers made, they had, some of you may have seen on Twitter or other places, they showed kind of the moving chart of who led the NBA in three-pointers, and names would move up and down as names came over time. And I was shocked to see, you know, we always think of that great Celtics team, and of course Larry Bird, the three-point shooter that he was. I believe at one point Danny Ainge actually passes Larry Bird on the all-time three-point list. Really impressive.
I'd have to go back and double check. I think he was like second highest all-time for a period of time. Obviously the NBA of today is very different. Like now Joe Ingles has more three-pointers made, you know, than Danny ever did. But yeah, great shooter, great athlete, and great competitor, which I think you've seen in the sort of front office side of things as well for him.
Any other Danny facts that we're missing out there, John?
So when he was drafted by the Celtics, so he was still under contract with the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays actually sent a letter to all 23 at that time NBA teams saying, don't you dare draft Danny Ainge because he's under contract with us. So he doesn't go in the first round, although there are teams that admit later that they would have drafted him had they known that he could have played. The Celtics take a flyer on him in the second round, the 31st pick. And it ends up going to court, goes to federal court. The Blue Jays fight it. And Red Auerbach, you know, who made the pick for the Celtics, ends up winning the day. And Danny becomes a Celtic.
Yeah, for truly an iconic team, of course. And that's what's so cool to me about Danny Ainge is, I mean, he is truly one of the great athletes, not just ours, but he's always been ours. And now it's so cool that he's home. And we get to see him on a regular basis. Of course, he has family here that we know and love. Tanner Ainge, a friend of all of us on the podcast. So this is a great thing to have Danny in this spot. And it just gets spicier for our Utah Jazz.
I really hope to see our dear friends Tanner and Heidi cheering for the Jazz this time when the Celtics come to town, though. I put out the challenge.
I may need to apologize to Tanner for some salty Twitter posts back when he was running for Congress on this same point, but... it was right. We just lost Gordon Hayward to the Celtics, which in retrospect feels like a lifetime ago. But it was fresh in the moment, Tanner. So please forgive me.
And ended up being a great thing for the Jazz. Allowed Donovan Mitchell to come into his own and do his thing. And I'm happy where we ended up. But it is nice. We had an opportunity to go to a Jazz game with Tanner and Heidi, and it was a Celtics game. And so it was a little tense that night, but we had a great time. And you know, if Jazz fans and Celtic fans can come together, then you know. We can have world peace. All right.
That sounded like the end of the Rocky movie right there. That was good.
Does.
But yeah, if I can change.
You can change.
I'm getting teared up. I'm feeling it.
Everybody can change. Any other thoughts on the Jazz season, SRH?
Well, I just love, seeing Dwayne Wade on the sideline too, I can't stop thinking how cool it is every time I see it. And he's not just a figurehead. He's not just a celebrity owner. He seems like he's just really adding that DNA to the team. Then you bring Danny in too. I just think what they're doing, bringing for the community. I love the way Donovan's speaking out on issues and making his voice heard. I think he's really bringing along the Utah Jazz fan base and people in Utah, really introducing him to some points of view that need to be shared, helping us improve the way that we think and act. And I think we still got a long way to go, but I really appreciate some of the voices that the Jazz are bringing in.
I agree. I think, we had a chance to meet Dwayne Wade when they first made the announcement. And what was so sweet, this is the coolest story. Emma Kate, our daughter, came with us. And we walked in the little suite and we took pictures with him. And he was very kind, just really a genuinely kind person. And we got finished taking pictures and we were kind of standing there. And he looks over at Emma Kate and he says, "Can I get a picture with just you?" And she melted like a little puddle of butter. And she did not stop talking about it to her brothers, about him singling her out to get a picture with her. And he was just really, really sweet.
Yeah, he's everything you'd hoped he'd be. Owen, last word?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for having us here, Abby. Thanks for giving us a chance to get back together. It was fun for us, whether or not anybody out there listening had a good time or not. We have had a blast. And I want to just say thank you for what you're doing for our community with your Show Up initiatives and with your foundation. And it's just so inspiring to see and to have a chance to be part of that. So thank you, Abby. We love you.
Thanks, Owen. That's very sweet.
That's it for this episode of Cox and Friends. Abby, thank you for letting us hijack your podcast. It's been so fun to reconnect with our friends and hopefully some listeners out there. Thanks for all you do, and remember to do good. Cox and Friends out.